Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the best gift.
Children's love.
It's the best day of the year. It's almost, I think, treat yourself time. Actually, do you know what today is? Today is the, like, five-year anniversary of when I tweeted Retta and asked her if she was holding a... recall nope magic wand, like the Hitachi vibrator, because that's one of the merch things that the recall nope people make. And there's a scene of Donna like holding it and waving it around, and she replied to me, back massager, because that was the story, but it definitely wasn't.
Apparently Retta like loves to respond to people on Twitter.
She's amazing. Have you seen the interview of her? I don't remember which talk show it is. It's like a late night something. And she tells this story about pulling up next to, she has like an opera voice.
Retta?
Yes. Huh. There's a video I'll show you later and it's worth looking up, but she just tells a story about someone pulling up beside her and assuming what she was listening to her and her rolling down the window and just blowing their minds.
With opera.
And singing along. Yeah. Anyway, it's amazing.
That's amazing.
I love Retta. And I love you. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, one more Retta-related story.
Hit me.
Courtesy of our friend Dylan, who has spent a lot of time with Retta.
A lot of time with Retta.
I learned.
Dylan does not listen to this podcast.
No, he does not. Of course he doesn't.
He doesn't listen. Same thing with Elite. He just like, quote, doesn't listen to podcasts.
I mean, welcome to 2018, buddy.
We love you anyway.
So there is, of course, a Parks and Rec cast group chat.
Of course.
And
do you think it's on GroupMe? Do you think it's an iMessage?
I am not sure, but here's what I do know, and I pretty much screamed when I was told this. Megan Mullally and Ron Offerman.
Nick Offerman.
Oh, my God.
Ron Swanson. I was like, what's happening?
And Nick Offerman share a phone.
Of course they do.
I know, but isn't that just fucking the cutest thing you've ever heard?
Yeah, because they like don't care.
No, they like do 1,000-piece puzzles together and share a phone. Him. I'm obsessed. Ron Offerman. There's a real man somewhere named Ron Offerman. I'm sorry.
Ron Offerman. If you're out there.
We love you.
Props.
How are you?
I'm really tired.
You've been yogin'.
Yeah, I'm back at it again with the old mat.
That took a little bit to come out there. I'm back.
yes, yoga. I'm good. I'm tired. I've had a big week.
Yeah, you're having a treat yourself week a little bit. Oh wait, so treat yourself 2018.
I know you said that
well
we were
timed.
Talking about it. Yes, as I talked about, I think. Two episodes ago, I really have been in dire need of some grooming.
some grooming, exactly.
And since then, I have gotten a Brazilian. Thank you for asking. And
how was it? Please rate it for me on a pain scale of 1 to 10.
6.
Dang. But how long does the pain last? Is it immediate and then it's over?
It was a 15-minute experience.
Okay.
You're like in 15 minutes of just like, and then it's done. And you're like, right. Huh.
Okay.
And I have to just exfoliate. I'm on my way. Mm-hmm. It's still like...
A little upkeep afterwards?
No.
Oh, good.
If you exfoliate, basically like the dead skin goes away and so the hairs don't grow in ingrown. They just come in straight.
Yeah.
So they don't
get
tangled.
Oh, that's all I mean. Yeah, not upkeep, sorry. Like tending to afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, and then it comes out easier.
Yeah. Ooh. So also before. Exfoliating before helps?
Exfoliate before and like in between.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
That's my Brazilian tip to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm taking notes furiously over here.
I know. It's really amazing. I'm like, Bridget should be, what is that?
A stenographer?
It is a stenographer.
Oh, amazing.
That's what it was on the tip of my tongue.
I saw it there and I just like pulled it right
out.
But
I wasn't sure if it was actually like, if there was a transcriber.
I mean, that works. I would have known what you meant. But I feel like stenographer is probably the word you wanted.
Yeah.
I have a desk mate and we sit like.
I have a postmate.
Same thing. He also delivers me food. We sit in like it's like a rectangle formation, but our desks are in opposite corners, kind of facing away from each other, mm-hmm. like down different ends of the hallway. So we don't like look at each other, but he will often like turn around to ask me something or vice versa. And the other day he asked me something and I turned my head and kept talking to him and he like something happened to his eyes and I could tell he wasn't listening to me anymore. I was like, Rob. And he was like, can you not look at me and type at the same time, please? I was like, have you never seen someone do this before? Everyone in this office could do this. Could you not do that? I didn't say that to him, but it was just so funny because it's a pretty standard thing, you know, to be able to type without looking.
Yeah,
but he literally couldn't
text without looking too.
Hold a conversation with me without me stopping.
But yes, back to me. Tomorrow I'm getting my hair cut, and then on Wednesday I'm getting my hair colored.
Yes.
So I will have a new head of hair on Thursday episode comes out. And I'm really excited.
Those are very exciting things.
It's really
things
exciting.
Like a haircut, you know, or like.
I'm really happy with how my hair is growing out, and I like.
It's so long and beautiful.
I like it long, but it's really dead.
Yeah, I know
so
that feeling.
I know it's going to be a couple inches, and I'm probably going to be upset, but I'm not. It's like this is the first time I've gone in a while. It's just been like just a trim, as little as you can.
Yeah.
And then it'll probably grow faster, and I'll be happy.
That's right.
Bridget cuts her own hair.
I do. Well, partially because I just every time I go into a one-off salon, because like I don't have a place here really. Mm-hmm. And every time, so I'll get a Groupon or something. And every time I have kind of tricky layers because my hair has seven different textures mm-hmm. and it grows at different rates. And like there's very coarse hair on the back of my head that's a lot shorter than the rest. Anyway, they just always manage to do exactly what I don't want them to do.
Nothing's worse than a bad haircut.
I know. And so I like the part where like they use fun products that make your hair really soft and amazing and like get it super accurately. But I cut hair in college for like petty cash. And so I can give myself a trim. And so until it gets really dire, I just told you I've gotten one haircut since I graduated, which was now almost 3 years ago. So I have to. And I just got hair scissors because a friend of mine wanted a haircut. So now that I have them, I'm like, okay, I'm set again.
Yeah, once I get this trim, I'll be going to Salon Bridget.
Salon Bridge.
Hey, Bridget.
Hi, Brooke.
Hey, everyone.
And welcome to
Splat, the podcast where me, Brooke.
And me, Bridget.
Talk about Sex and the City.
10 years younger.
And 20 years later.
Here we are in Brooklyn on my couch.
On our couch.
Hooked up.
I told you I would come to Brooklyn.
Here you are.
I've come to Brooklyn more since I've been back from Israel than I think in all of 2018.
That's true, which I would also like to point out says a lot about how much time I spent in Harlem.
Yeah, that's true.
Although it's easier because I'm coming from work, you know? So like for you to come from work is far.
When I worked in the East Village, it was a lot.
It made a lot more sense.
I feel
sense,
like I
yeah.
came down here.
Because it was the equivalent of like one version is really short. It's just the way home that's long.
Yeah. But it's okay. I have my book.
What are you reading right now?
Oh, I'm still reading Special Topics in Calamity Physics.
Holy shit. Are you still not as into it?
I just like need to commit to it. I just like haven't been in a reading mood.
I get that. I go in and out of that.
And now I really want to reread Harry Potter.
I mean, that's a good impulse always.
Although
it'll make you feel good.
I've never done Jim Dale before.
Why do I know? Is that
the audiobooks?
Oh,
so I was thinking I might do that for Harry Potter. And
oh, you've never listened
experience.
To them that way?
No,
I've not. It's not like I've listened to them all, but it's definitely a fun experience.
I feel like I'm just like a visual learner. But I guess it's like returning home.
Yeah, and you know them so well at this point. You know, it's kind of as much fun once you know them really well, and you're not like jarred by hearing someone else because you've seen the movies and you've talked to a million people about it. It's just like the experience of hearing him do it is so fun.
Yeah. I think
that'd be a great way to do it.
I think I might do it. And then I can do it while I'm reading books. Mm-hmm. But I always get back into reading in the summer when I can like lay in the park.
Mm-hmm. Being able to be outside makes a huge difference. It was nice. It was like actively warm in the sun today.
It's been sunny, but it's still cold.
More snowstorm coming Wednesday.
Thank God.
It's going to be like another one where it doesn't actually, it's not a storm at all, but still annoying. I just want there to be winter and then it to be spring. You know, these warm days make me so antsy for it to come. I can wait it out like otherwise.
There was like a period when I wasn't wearing my long coat, my like big puffy coat. And I'm just like, I'm going to wear it until I'm not wearing it.
I do.
Like I'm skipping the pea coat phase.
Yeah.
Like you, I just like my hands are tearing off.
I know. It's because it's cold. It's really cold. But the sun helps. Before we dive in, should we talk about the most exciting thing that happened today?
Yes. I was going to bring that up and I forgot.
I know. How could we?
You guys.
Guys. Our
Tony, Emmy, and Grammy Award winning friend.
And friend of yours and friend of the pod and favorite Miranda, Cynthia Nixon, is indeed
running for the governor of New York
against fucking Cuomo, baby. And it's so exciting. I love imagining it as the continuation of the Miranda storyline, even though Cynthia Nixon is totally her own person and gets to own that and is a badass and has been involved in like public education reform and shit for years and is really interested in being an amazing human being. And I love her.
I love her so much.
And then friend of the pod, basically exclusively regarding this particular subject, Avi Small, who's been linking us into everything.
He's been keeping us posted.
Just
is he gonna work for her campaign?
Honestly, like I mean, I have my hopes. But he just tagged us in a tweet from none other than sweet, sweet Kristen Davis saying, so she quote tweeted Cynthia Nixon's post, which says, I love New York and today I'm announcing my candidacy for governor. Join us. And then Kristen Davis said, I am so proud of Cynthia Nixon. No one cares more than she does about every person getting a fair chance. I think she meant chance, fair change and a good education. I know that she would be an excellent governor. Space exclamation point. It's so cute.
They just like are their characters.
It's so cute.
Kristen Davis has a good episode. I loved this episode. I know you watched it a little distracted.
I watched it very distractedly.
And there was no judgment in me. I wasn't trying to throw you under the bus in that moment.
No, no. I mean, tit for tat. We both had our episodes where we've been the quote unquote like experts or
one
whatever.
One time I just straight up didn't watch.
I like effectively listened to this one like a podcast because so much was going on at work.
Well, there are some great outfits in this episode.
I'm actually really excited to see them, but this is going to be Brookie taking the lead on this one.
Oh my God. I'm so nervous.
Take it away. Take me on a Sex and the City tour. It's called Frenemies, which I love that this was a term then. I mean, of course it was.
Yeah. Oh, really, really quick. I know we can't have questions from my brother because he's busy.
Uh-huh.
But we have some corrections from my brother.
Oh, good.
So
okay.
From our local Harry Potter
Oh, yes,
expert,
who was very concerned about our
Goblet of Fire mistake. Oh, wait, pause her.
Oops.
Pause.
Thank you. I will take her back.
No, you don't. Oh.
Meh.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire was not out in the year 2000.
And it was too thin. I maintain that I was correct about that.
Yes, it was too thin.
Anyway, we were wrong.
We were wrong. Sorry. And also, I got him Hummus Place hummus.
Oh.
It is the best hummus in Manhattan. Fuck because yeah. I went to the Hummus Place and all the people that worked there were Israeli.
Oh, so you knew.
So I knew.
You were like, I'm in good hands.
But you know which hummus he really, really liked?
Your hummus.
My hummus.
Brooke's hummus.
Brooke's hummus.
What's your Israeli name?
Yuval.
Yuval. Yuval's hummus.
Yuvi's hummus.
Yuvi's hummus. That's right.
Yeah.
I love Yuvi.
Yuvi.
It's like UV light also, you know, a little extra something.
But I told my parents, my mom goes, like rays of sun because you're so bright and shine on love on all the things you do. I was like, Mom.
Sounds right. Sounds 100% right.
No, it's not. I'm such a storm cloud.
No, I mean, it sounds like checks out like that your mom would say that.
I was like,
no, it's not. I'm like a storm cloud. Jesus. Oh, man. And with that, shall we?
Yeah, that's awesome. All right.
Let's jump in. Frenemies, baby.
So Miranda's getting ready for a date with Will O'Connor, which oh,
she's wearing like ballet chic.
You should know that his name
shit.
Is Will O'Connor, like a British person, but in my notes I wrote Will O'Connor, like Willow Tree Connor.
Oh, nice. Like Willow Smith, the important Willow.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Beautiful. She looks amazing.
Her hair is growing out. She bought this new dress at Barney's, and they ran into each other at a Starbucks.
And
he asked her on a date. And across town, Samantha's getting fucked out of her mind on her bed, which is on wheels.
Wheels? Why? She's literally like scooting They're past like, the window.
I'm like, of all people, why would you have a bed on wheels?
And
uptown, Trey uptown, is trying to have sex with Charlotte.
Trina. He is definition of Trina. And
they're using the schooner bit. Liz, schooner, your favorite Rebecca. Word, schooner.
Hi, Liz.
So there's like a lot of like, the sails are up.
Happy belated birthday to our last week's guest, Liz. We love you.
Happy birthday, Liz.
And Trey has this like really pained smile on his face.
It's really sad. I feel really bad. And like the wind, his boner goes away.
The wind died, like the sails.
And Charlotte's really frustrated because, as we know, Charlotte's a very sexual person. And she's like kind of clawing into his back.
Here's something where she could be like, okay, clearly this isn't working, but like here's a vibrator. Can you use this on me?
I know. I'm like, can you? I literally wrote, just eat her out.
Yeah. There's so much space between penetrative sex and other ways to like enjoy yourselves in bed, especially if that's not working.
So it's like Saturday night and Carrie's like at home working. She's been writing a lot. I'm like, good job, Carrie, make an effort. And Miranda calls her and is like, I'm eating out of plastic. My date is if he's 3 hours late, so he stood me up. And she says, he doesn't even know me. The least he could do is get to know me before he rejects me.
And Carrie's like, that's a legal dumping. She's also wearing this really cute button-down, like one button, just hanging open and rolled up.
She's like, I haven't been stood up since I was 27. We're getting ages. So yes. Miranda's 34.
And so is Carrie.
Yes.
So they're the same age. And Miranda's just pretty bummed, understandably.
And we find out that Carrie is going to be teaching lectures at the Learning Annex called Bright Lights Date City, where she's going to talk about dating. And Miranda's like, ugh, I'm so embarrassed for you.
It's so cute. I love when they rib each other because it's the most like real part of it. It's where they get like real personality in their relationship.
Yeah.
You know how each relationship kind of gets a personality?
Yeah.
I love when it
comes
out.
There's a lot in this episode of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so... why does Miranda
says this dress is making a mockery of me?
She's no longer wearing braces.
I know. What the hell happened? Was that just like a one-off plot point? Or, as Liz diagnosed, was that the wrong treatment for TMJ or whatever she had?
So Miranda's like, fuck this. I'm not taking this lying down. She calls and she's like, hello, is Will there?
And a woman picks up and is like, who's speaking?
And we're like, uh-oh, is he married? And it's Will's mother. And Miranda goes off on Will's mom only to be revealed that Will is in fact
fucking
dead. He's dead.
She's like, I don't know how you raised your son.
And she's like, Will is,
Will died today.
Will died today. And so then they have a whole thing about how they're dying on us.
I know, which is like, it's funny because my crisis about this would just be like, ah, death, which is a crisis I have all the time anyway. And for them, it's like, oh, but the men are dying. Our options like, are dying.
Yeah. I told his mother. So Miranda tells Will Connor's mom that she'll go to the wake. And this is one of my favorite things. So Miranda's like, I don't even know him. And Carrie goes, and I think it's safe to say you never will.
Incredible.
Sarah Jessica Parker is really good on this episode.
Recently, they've been giving Carrie a little more of these like pretty quippy one-liners where she's like really funny. And I like it because I think they realized Carrie needed more of a little bit of a personality too.
Yeah. So Charlotte's like really struggling.
She looks beautiful. But
she's so beautiful.
We've been trying to, you know, and Samantha says, fuck. It's just not getting big and hard.
Oh, wait. Pause it.
Okay. And so, Carrie says, what is this, Dirty Mad Libs?
So what I want to do is play a round of Dirty Mad Libs.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So I'm going to pull up.
Oh, my God. Yes.
A Mad Libs. First of all, just really quick, what I pulled up when I opened my phone is this Escape the Room Google Doc that has been that.
No way.
Oh, yeah. That I have with this group of people that I have been escaping the rooms with. And I was finally.
Escaping the rooms with.
Okay, I haven't actually looked at it, but it's attendance, date, escape, notes.
Unbelievable.
And this is my first day being shared on this Google Doc, and yet I am very represented. Like, they know where I've been and who I've escaped
through.
Well done. Because honestly, except for one.
Which was the one that made you mad before your birthday, right? You've always escaped.
No, except for the agency. Which I did my first escape room. I've done every single one.
Oh, shit.
With Dylan.
All of them? Damn. That's impressive.
We've never, no, I haven't done all of them. I just mean that I've never done an escape room except for in Israel.
Without Dylan.
Without Dylan. Oh. Except for once.
Oh, I see.
I'm trying to think if there's.
That makes sense.
Yeah. No, I've literally never done one without Dylan.
That makes sense to me.
We're doing one on Friday.
Of course you are. I mean, of course. Which one are you doing?
I don't know. It's Andy's birthday, so we're doing one for Andy's birthday, which is good because I've been doing a lot of the board game ones and I really need to get back in the room.
Get back in the space. Get it in your body. Yeah. I was going to say, well, I'll take being better at whatever that one is with you, being a better partner for that. Dylan can have the escape
room. Okay, but we tried to do one last night and it wasn't as fun.
Oh, damn.
Okay, I'm finding on Mad Libs. Okay, here we go.
Here, I'll just write them down as I go.
Okay. Adjective.
So I have to do them and they have to be dirty.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Voluptuous.
This is really long.
I'm ready.
Adjective.
We're just going sexy.
Noun.
Butt.
Noun.
Vibrator.
Plural noun.
Plural noun. Dicks.
Game.
Strip poker.
Plural noun.
Sex swings.
Verb ending in ing.
Fisting.
Verb ending in ing.
Licking.
Plural noun.
I was going to say condoms, but I think I'm going to go for rubbers. Just for effect.
Love that. Verb ending in ing.
Caressing.
Noun.
Harness.
Plant.
What's the sexiest of the plants?
Succulent, I'd
say.
Oh,
that's pretty good. I was going to say Venus flytrap.
Ooh, whatever you want.
No, I think succulent is really good.
Part of the body.
Oh, I'm going to go nipple.
Always a crowd nipple. Pleaser. A place.
Let's go the pleasure chest. Too specific.
Perfect. No.
And topical.
Verb ending in ing.
Humping.
Mm-hmm. Adjective.
Horny.
Number.
7.
Plural noun.
Vaginas.
Perfect. Okay, here we go. Vacations. Right. A vacation is when you take a trip to some voluptuous place with your sexy family. Usually, you go to some place that is near a butt or up a vibrator.
Up a vibrator.
Up on a vibrator. Oh, a good vacation place is one where you can ride dicks or play strip poker or go hunting for sex swings. I like to spend my time fisting or licking. When parents go on vacation, they spend their time eating 3 rubbers a day. And fathers play golf and mothers sit around caressing. Last summer, my little brother fell in a harness and got poisoned succulent all over his nipple. My family is going to the pleasure chest and I will practice humping. Parents need vacations.
That this is about a family.
Parents need vacations more than kids because parents are always very horny and because they have to work 7 hours every day all year making enough vaginas to pay for the vacation. And that has been
wow.
Sexy Mad Libs with there Brooke you go. And Bridget.
Sponsored by Carrie Bradshaw. Thanks for the suggestion, babe. Wow. That was sure a
That was
ride.
An experience.
No pun intended. Wow. Sensual, if I may say so. Shall we?
I think we must.
Charlotte is saying, I love him and he's trying, but this is so frustrating, which is, again, where I'm like, dude, so many other options for him, at least just for the in-between. Yeah. Obviously, you have to figure this out, but get yours, baby.
I was like.
You almost masturbated. He almost got it up together. You almost had sex.
Samantha's on fire this episode.
Yeah, she is. But and Charlotte's but Charlotte is like, I just feel ashamed, and which we know, I think is true.
Yeah, but we also know that Charlotte masturbates. And she's confused because Charlotte Trey masturbates and he reads porn. And Samantha's like, oh, easy, it's the Madonna whore. You're not sexual. He sees you as the virginal wife, not right. a sexual plaything.
Right. Which is why she could sort of trick him with the magazine with her face on it, because she was becoming something sort of forbidden or taboo
yeah.
that way. But in real life, she's not. And Gary's like, come on, you're something to see. They're
look
just
at
like
what
gassing
Samantha's
her up.
Wearing. I know. Only buttons.
It's like a pleather and lace shirt that, as Carrie's last shirt was, only buttons over her boobs.
Yep.
There just aren't even buttons anywhere else.
This outfit that Carrie is wearing to this learning annex thing is something that I would wear so fast.
It yes,
is
a, and it would look insanely good on you.
It is a strapless romper that...
Like a capri length?
I need it.
Not even. It's like knee length, which is kind of perfect.
I honestly need it for summer.
We could definitely find you a version of that.
Thank you.
Okay, that's a mission okay, for
mission
me.
Mission for us.
So it's like an audience full of women, and Carrie's like up on stage.
And she's being
with
very
her purse,
charming.
Very charming. All of these, there are 2 million single men in the city, and all of those men are right outside their door, your
and
door.
And I've dated 1 million of them. And so she's like they're asking like, where do you go to meet men? And it's like actually like a really bizarre, I've never been to anything like this context. One extra has a really bad tan line.
Also, with a few notable exceptions, it's like 99% white women.
That's Sex in the City.
I mean, yes, absolutely it is. Just reinforcing itself here.
They're like, we've been to all these places and it's just like, it's bombing. But long story short, Carrie's bombing. And then
well,
one
these
girl,
women are just like, you're telling us stuff we all already know and have already tried. You just are like hot and lucky and successful.
But then this one girl goes, give her a break. She's older than us. Which is like, that just sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the last thing Carrie wants to hear. So she starts telling a story about how she met a guy on the Hampton Jitney. And then she's like, starts telling it and is like, nope, this is a bad story to tell. Never mind. Question. Yes, you.
Are you married? And she's like, no. And they're all like, oh, well, then how can we trust you, bitch?
Have you ever been married? Like, which is interesting because it takes the, you realize that the goal of these women isn't necessarily just to like date. They're specifically like, they're Charlottes.
They're Charlottes
looking for,
asking. From,
yeah.
Yeah.
And Carrie isn't a Charlotte.
No,
you know, she would have married big, but she's not Charlotte.
And they all sort of like turn on her and it's really, really sad. She goes, hey, come on, be quiet. She's older than us. We can learn something, which is like a dagger to the heart. And Carrie's like, this sucks.
But she's trying to keep her composure. Can I smoke in here? Is that all
right?
And
everyone goes, no. And I love that like in this show, just in general, people like don't actually like everyone hates on Carrie.
Yeah,
for smoking.
Yeah. It's not like really a cool thing she does. So Carrie's back at her computer working later that night. And you're supposed to get wiser about dating, what men to pick, where to meet them. But what really made any of us experts?
What's our single status? Wasn't
our single status a neon sign?
What if all these years in New York have only made us older, more confused,
or
dead?
Because now we have some mortality.
Are we getting wiser or just older?
So we pan to Carrie and Miranda. And they're kind of like reminiscing on, or not reminiscing, they're like musing on the same thing she was kind of writing about together. And she's telling Miranda how hostile they were. And Miranda's, of course, like, just fuck them.
And they're at this wake.
Which, so good. If Carrie's like the greatest friend who will go
she's
along with
really,
you to
really
the funeral
friend.
That you would. But you know what? Miranda would have done this for her, too. Miranda would be her date to a funeral.
Yeah, because they're the best friends.
Yeah. Yeah, Miranda's like, hire a bodyguard.
This
body
scene is really funny. So they go and they look at his body and Carrie gets nervous because she's never seen a dead body.
It's pretty funny, though.
Carrie goes, he's really cute. And Miranda goes, was. Damn.
I so like him even more now.
They're at the wake and so they're at a bar. This is like the
She's like, he was organized enough to have a will, which I love because lawyer Miranda is like all about that.
Yeah. And so then they get approached by this guy who's like, Carrie, it's me, Jim. And
who does he look like? Wait, you know what? We're watching on here. Dominic Famusa.
He is a bad actor.
Yes, he is. He has a Sex in the City one-off face, though. He like looks like a man who would be an extra on this show.
Yeah. And so we find out that he used to date Carrie, but Miranda's attracted to him. And he's like, oh, how did you know Will O'Connor? And he's like, we were roommates in college. We were frenemies. We like...
hang on really fast. I have a hypothesis watching, watching Miranda talk. Something has changed in her mouth. She doesn't have braces, but she's holding her top lip differently. And I wonder if she has like Invisalign or something on.
You think Cynthia Nixon needed braces? I don't.
I don't think she necessarily needed them, but I just something as someone who like wore retainers and had braces for years, something's either she has like a back retainer or like maybe something happened, you know, and she needed some dentistry or something.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have the braces she had last time. But watch her talk.
No,
she's
I noticed it too.
Her
That's
mouth
why
is different.
A lot of my notes were like, is she wearing braces?
Maybe there was like a break in filming or something, and she really did for a month or two. I don't know. Like it was like because it's thrown me off. Anyway.
So Jim. So he's talking about how they're so competitive, whatever.
He's like, he even died first to beat me to the punch. Death jokes, baby.
We love him.
Here we go. Carrie goes, you guys were classic frenemies. And he's like, frenemies, good word. And she's like, well, I'm a writer.
And then he goes to get them drinks. And Carrie doesn't get a drink, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And Miranda thinks he's cute. And Carrie's like, he's an asshole.
Listen. Oh, yes, indeedy, she says. And Miranda's like, but he seems great. That's what I thought, too, when I started dating him. Then, when we both knew it wasn't working, I broke up with him. And hello, asshole. Which, this is interesting because we haven't really seen this about an ex yet. This kind of like...
Yeah, but this happens to literally every single one-off guy in this show where they're great and then we discover... Then we break up with him and then they become
become assholes.
A raging asshole. And this is the first time we've actually ever called one out.
Yeah.
But they're all like this.
You're totally right. That's so funny.
And so he asks Miranda out.
When Carrie walks away, too. He walks over and he's like, I'd love to take you out. And Miranda gives him her card. And... apparently, Will's death had turned Miranda into my target audience, a desperate woman.
Okay, so Samantha's getting fucked again, and now the bed is rolling
the other way. That's it. Scenic. And also, there's no way his dick is in her vagina. He's literally, like, on all fours, and she's on the bed.
Charlotte's trying. And Samantha's like, I tell you, almost. So Charlotte is, like, really
I almost
strung
broke
up.
The bed. And Charlotte is having, of course, a hard time. And Samantha is instead just fucking everyone, as happens.
Samantha looks like a sexy rainbow bright. And Miranda and
Charlotte's like indignant that she knows nothing about the guy she's fucking.
Well, she's like, she doesn't understand. She's like, why do you have to have sex like that? So it's Charlotte and Samantha going.
And why do you have to talk about sex like that?
Going at each other. She's like, sex is something beautiful between two people. Like, and Samantha's kind of like, why do we have to talk about it like this? And Miranda and Carrie are sort of like.
Covering their faces with their menus. And it's interesting because often this is kind of the crux of where Charlotte and Samantha really have gone at each other.
Yeah.
Like there's the episode where she basically says that Samantha slept with everyone in New York.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they have that huge falling out.
She sleeps with her brother.
Yeah. Like it's about their differences in moral feeling about sex and just their approaches.
And
to
so
it.
Charlotte storms
and
out.
Charlotte takes it really personally, and Samantha is completely the opposite.
Yeah, and Carrie and Miranda are like, we're not getting involved, and Samantha's like, well, then you're not coming with me to this fancy dinner reservation. Cut to this is like a very Miranda Carrie centric episode, which I love.
Yeah, me too.
Carrie's wearing another gorgeous dress.
They do not dress Miranda with any favors, really. She's wearing like. Chunky heel sandals and a weird graphic tee.
And like these pants where I can't tell where they stop.
Super weird pants.
But Carrie looks fucking stunning.
That I want that dress.
Yeah.
We'll find you that pantsuit and I want that dress.
We can definitely find you that dress.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
It's so
she's also wearing some really like interesting jewelry this time. Mm-hmm. It's like borderline kitschy all of it. Yeah. In fact, not even borderline.
So later that week,
Charlotte decided if she was ever going to get
Charlotte
Trey.
Is giving me baby spice meets ginger spice realness, and it is so good.
I love when they really curl her hair. Also, she's in like a tiny crop top, which is so cute.
I like own that shirt, but yeah. I don't own those abs.
No. I don't own any of these proportions on any of them.
Yes, you do.
Proportions? No, all of them have boobs.
You're right.
If anyone, I'm probably closest to Samantha's body, but I don't have a butt either. I'm a stick, baby. Woo! They call me the walking stick.
The walking stick, not to Classic. Be confused with the Walking Dead.
That's right.
Fear the walking stick.
Those are the insects,
FX
right?
This fall.
That like
the
walk, look like twigs,
stick bugs.
Yeah.
And Carrie's kind of like
they're at a sex shop. Basically, Charlotte's trying to like
find something
be sexy,
sexy
enough
for
Trey to have a
and
boner.
And Carrie's like, you know who would be really good at this?
Samantha.
And Carrie and Charlotte's like, I don't want another lecture. But I was like, Carrie's a really good friend. Like,
yes. For the good of all of them too. Like she doesn't, there are no like inherent allegiances.
Yeah.
In the way that like middle school friend groups work, you know, where sometimes you just like have to side with someone. Yeah. She really is like, I care about all of these people and they all are equal.
So we can sort of blow past this, but basically Samantha like meets another woman who's like has similar Samantha energy.
Yeah.
In a department store. And so they decide to go get a drink together.
Also, the one other thing about that scene with Carrie and Charlotte is that Carrie says, when Charlotte pushes back about them having the conversation, Carrie says, hey, there were two of you ruining my breakfast, which I love too, because she's not just doing the work to like comfort. She's also being like, hey, dude, here's a mirror.
Yeah. So then.
Asshole guy, Jim.
Jim, who were like, he's not an asshole. He's being so sweet. And Miranda.
Go on a date. They do a very chaste street kiss. I love Miranda's dress. That's a good look on her. That neckline.
Yes.
And they're talking about Carrie. And he's like, she knew me a long time ago. I've changed. I mean, back then I was in a band called Uncle Ted's Ass and I could sit on my hair.
Which I didn't understand. I thought that was a party trick. And now I understand it means his hair was very long.
I just went through a couple rotations in my head.
Yep.
And then they do some more kind of weird chaste making out on the street.
Ugh, what do you mean by chaste making out on the street?
Like it's not very they're not like making out. Ugh, you know?
Just have a good vocabulary, Bridget. Oh,
thank you.
I want to make out.
Yeah, making out's fun, isn't it? It's a good time.
Yeah.
Make out. Make out. So they're having Carrie and Miranda are having a cute morning phone call. I love Miranda's little like sleep crop toppy thing. It's so cute.
Yeah.
Carrie's wearing kind of like house clothes, which I love. They're the frumpiest things I've seen her in a while.
Yeah, she's doing her laundry.
She's wearing like all camo of her bras shorts are pink. And shit. Yeah. I love the kitchen laundry, the hand washing delicates,
and
baby.
Miranda's trying to get her to come out with her and Jim.
Because she weirdly, I think kind of, well, not weirdly. I think she wants to convince Carrie he's changed so that she can feel good about seeing him.
Yeah.
And Carrie's really like, are we talking about the same guy? Because so clearly, like, she this isn't something
she has so many bras. I really have one bra that
I desperately need a bra. I'm literally just now wearing a sports bra because my one bra just does not work.
Okay, we gotta go get you a bra.
Okay, let's do it. Both of us deal.
I don't need any more bras.
No, you just said you only have one.
I have one that I wear, but I have like four.
Oh, okay, well, that's good. The one that you wear, that's crucial.
I have like three good bras, but I only really wear one. So Charlotte has decided that she's going to go to the other breed of person that she is a waspy-ass white girl.
It's like all her Connecticut ladies she probably was on, like, tennis teams with.
No, but they're her sorority sisters.
Oh,
because, of course, Charlotte was in Kappa Kappa Gamma.
Of course she was. The classic. The classic. And they're all, like...
They're like, oh, welcome to the old marriage.
Too pinched to be. Also, Charlotte drinks out of a martini glass that's so huge, and the angle makes her face go huge for the shot. And it's so funny every time she does it.
Yeah, it's like a little magnifying glass.
And these women are all just like, just a little too pinched to be beautiful, you know, but lots of money, lots of judgment, blonde. Lots of bling.
Woman's like, I remember when I first got married, we could hardly get out of bed. And Charlotte's like,
well, my husband can't get it up.
And they all kind of like snip up Stepford Wives style. Yeah,
like.
And you know what I said is that. What I said is that drunk Charlotte, I think, is my favorite character on this show.
Oh, she's really good.
When Charlotte gets drunk, she just like, this is like this famous monologue where she's like, I just really want to get fucked, you know? Like, don't you ever just want to get pounded? Like, I just really want to be fucking pounded. And all these women are
it's amazing. And Charlotte, everyone in the place. This is really inappropriate. Yeah. We're eating. What's wrong with you? You're such a...
And she goes, what? What am I? So we have a mirror of that same scene that happened with Samantha.
Yes. Charlotte realized how much they'd all changed since college. You know who Charlotte is? Charlotte is, in another universe, grown-up Gretchen Wieners. Mm-hmm. Because this is the version of the... what if you want to stab Caesar?
Yeah.
Speech in Mean Girls when she's like drunk and free, you know?
I love being drunk.
She's not like under the oppression of other women. She's dealing with a husband who won't fuck her and these crazy girls. But
so Samantha's on her like friend date with her new friend, Carrie.
This woman.
What's her name?
I don't remember. Oh, wait. Here we can find out. Her name is
Claire Ann. I said that because a friend of the pod, Carrie, is Carrie Ann. So an hour later, they like find guys and
cute guys. They're all drinking.
And Claire Ann is like, I want to eat you up. I'm going to eat you up. And then she literally.
Oh, you are too cute.
And then she goes under the table and starts giving him a blowjob in front of everybody.
It's mind-boggling.
So basically what we see is Charlotte.
It's like a booth table, but they're not covered at all.
We see Charlotte being Samantha-ized, and we see Samantha being Charlotte-ized.
Because suddenly she's the innocent one in this situation.
Also, this outfit, this dress with this just like the hole under her boobie is so good.
Yes. A little peekaboo cutout.
Samantha's so... Kim Cattrall is so, so fucking beautiful.
It's a really crazy scene. And then she like climbs her way out of the booth and... She looks like she's going to a sorority formal in 2018, honestly.
Samantha
learned she had a little Charlotte in her.
And Charlotte learned she had a little Samantha in her.
Just like Charlotte, she had a line that could be
also
crossed.
Also, that blowjob.
It's just as weird as Trey's jerking off. That didn't make any sense.
Yeah. So Carrie agrees to meet Jim and Miranda for drinks.
And she's like, Jim took me to an amazing poetry reading last night.
Look,
also,
Carrie,
look at Carrie's fucking... She rated Claire's
it's
for this episode.
Like
also, RIP, Claire's is closing.
What?
I know.
Why?
They're going out of business.
That's so sad. Where
and
will young girls...
And Toys R Us, I know.
Well, that's been
happening.
For a while.
Yeah.
Where will young girls get their ears pierced?
I know.
I'm so hungry, Bridget. Have you heard my stomach growling?
No.
Oh, it's bad.
We'll have snacks as soon as this is over.
You take such good care of me.
I love having you here. So Carrie's wearing the world's ugliest, tackiest, enormousest butterfly necklace. And a lot of bronzer. And she...
And he starts calling Carrie out.
Yeah. She, like, wants to leave to go get a smoke. Also, he talks about how much she likes her shoes. And she's like, yes, I do. And he's like, makes sense for how much you like to walk all over people.
And so we're starting to see it. Okay. But so at the end of that scene with Samantha, when she walks out and Carrie's like, we saw that... Because when Charlotte walks out, Carrie says... she realized she had a little Samantha in her and then vice versa. And I wrote, yeah, we all have all four of them in us because we're all one person. They're all one person.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, because we've said before, you know, everyone has a little Charlotte in them. Everyone has a little.
Everyone has a little Charlotte in them. Everyone has a little Samantha in them. Carrie has all four of them in her because she is all four of them.
Because she
all of
is a sociopath.
Wait, I was talking yesterday to some people about, I think it was Roseanne. And we were like trying to figure out because Roseanne is coming back, like, there's a TV show where someone wakes up and it's all a dream. The Bob Newhart show, I think. Or whatever. And then Roseanne is like, John Goodman dies, but we're just like just ignoring that in the revival, I guess. And I was thinking, I was like, if I were to wake up and have my entire life be a dream, where in my life would I have fallen asleep? At like what point would the dream have started?
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking about... Like, how long have I been dreaming for?
Good Lord.
I know.
What did you decide?
I don't know. But I used to have a bit with Allison about how if I got blackout, that my bit would be to just pretend that I have amnesia. But like, if my life got so bad that, like, my, like, trauma trigger, like, my fight or flight wouldn't be fight or flight. It would be stress amnesia.
I mean, not an ineffective
and
strategy.
I would, and again, and at the time, it was like my first year out of college. So we said that my amnesia would have begun sophomore year of college.
Oh, sure.
And so like a lot of things would have just never happened.
Wiped out. Yeah.
Or, uh-huh. And so I just think that.
Maybe similar timeline for the dream.
But, well, not anymore.
Right.
I think maybe. I don't know where my dream, the dream part of my life, like if I were to wake up, like would I wake up? I feel like I would wake up maybe in like spring of 2016.
You know, what's funny is I was going to say an obvious one for me would be, I don't know that I really believe this, but there was a really specific incident in the summer of 2016 after which I literally felt like the entire first part of my life was like a tape someone had downloaded in my head. Mm-hmm. I hadn't lived any of it. Like I'd been like, I was only now alive.
We're having sort of the opposite.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And like, nothing that had happened before had, it took me a long time to shake off that feeling, but I feel like that might be a moment.
Yeah. So like, if you guys have anything like you think, like how do you feel about
talk
that?
To
do
us.
You ever feel like you're being the Truman Show?
I was gonna say, yeah, man, so, I don't. Oof, I would not handle that well at all.
If I were to wake up and realize, and like, or like to go back in time, like a time traveling movie, but you don't really know, like all those things were like, what's the date?
Right, right.
Like if you could time turner.
Oh God, yeah. Honestly, if I could have time turned at any point in my life, I would have done it in high school for the same reason Hermione did. I just had so much fucking work all the time. And I like really cared about it at that point.
You were such a Hermione.
Yeah. For a lot of my life, I really was. I think I'm less so now. But maybe, I don't know. I feel like maybe Hermione would be more like me as she got into her 20s. Who knows?
We'll never know. JK, if you're listening... Joe, we love a can the ninth book be Harry, Hermione, and Ron in their 20s? Thanks.
Please.
Thank you
so
much.
Living in New York.
Can it be Sex and the City?
Can they have a podcast about Sex and the City?
Can we be wizards is what we're asking.
Oh, just give me magical powers. There's still an episode happening. I'm so sorry, everyone. So Jim is really fucking calling Carrie out, which is uncomfortable and also unclear why he thinks he'd win in front of Miranda when it's really just their second date.
And then Miranda immediately goes, well, she was like, Carrie doesn't walk all over people. And he was like, well, she did with me. And Miranda just goes, well, maybe that's because you're an asshole.
and then he keeps like pushing it. And she's like, she's not an asshole. And then he says, you're breaking up with me. And she says,
oh, the fancy lawyer lady's breaking up with me. Like, I give a shit. Like, it's exactly what Carrie.
He's just nasty. Shell shocked. And Carrie smiles kind of. She's like, whoa. And then as she walks out of this scene. The frame, she smiles because also she's right and goodbye.
So I was thinking about like, why does it feel so good to be able to say I told you so? Why does it feel so good?
Because I think we our just, default is that we are right.
Intrinsically, we just love being right.
Yeah. And when it comes to friends and you don't want to see them make a mistake, there's a different kind of stake to it, you know, where like Carrie genuinely didn't want her to date him. And yeah. Now she doesn't have to deal with that. And she, you know,
I love the word asshole.
And so and when there's more at stake, asshole.
Asshole.
Motherforker.
So.
Oh, some nipples. So Charlotte's wearing the sheerest.
And Trey's like, what are you doing?
What are you wearing?
She has.
He's
got
like
hips.
Horrified.
Horrified.
Hey, it is a weird combination, I'll be fair. It's probably not what most people would think of as like super sexy in a sex shop, but it's very sheer. And
she's like, take that off. He's like, take that off right now.
She's
and
like,
she
fine.
Does.
And she strips.
Princeton
so she's just in
Davis
a thong.
Boobies. She's got birthing hips.
She'd probably be happy to hear you say that. And then she'd be worried if that meant they were too wide.
No, they're perfect. And he's like, this isn't you, Charlotte. And, yes, and she's like, yes,
this
is
me. I'm not a Madonna and I'm not a whore. Good for you, baby.
I'm your wife.
And
I'm
sexual and I love you.
This is a really, really beautiful moment. And then she like, you see her like, she starts touching herself.
It's so powerful. And for Charlotte.
I can't imagine doing this in front of
anyone. Oh my God, no. And he says, what are you doing?
And she's like, I'm touching myself. She's so sexy.
Yeah, it's really incredible. It's unlike anything we've seen out of Charlotte, even in sexual situations. Trey's like, I can see that.
She's like, good.
You can't really tell if he's into it or not yet, but he's definitely like engaged.
And then he looks down at his penis and he looks up and he goes, sales are up.
Which is also interesting because it's like, is the message here really that like, if Charlotte was just sexy enough or like enough of his fantasy... this would have never been a problem.
That night, Trey successfully screwed his wife for a full minute and a half
before
the
wind
died. And so then and I'm like,
she called the one person in the world who she knew would appreciate it most.
Samantha. And Samantha's like fucking so sexy. I can't
help
it.
Yeah, she's just sprawled on her bed in like soft underwear and bra and like a like drapey
robe. I had
robe.
Sex. And Samantha goes, I knew you could do it.
Did you come? Samantha. Having spent time with their frenemies, Charlotte
does that
and
mean,
Samantha
is that
forgot
implying
they were.
That Charlotte came in a minute and a half?
I'm going to assume she didn't and is just actually laughing at Samantha asking her
but
that.
But Samantha says like, oh, honey, congratulations. Like something like.
Or maybe she just, I mean, there's just no way. Or maybe because she hasn't had anything in like months. She
maybe
was just
he
so
actually
ready
eats
to go.
Her fucking out.
That would be nice, wouldn't it be? So Carrie's back on stage and there are like six women in the audience.
Very good. Quick math. She's wearing the flower, but it's black.
And it's tied around her waist. And she's like, I have to tell you, I don't know a whole lot about this, but what I do know is you're not going to meet them sitting in a learning
class. So she takes the six women to a bar and she starts setting them up.
She's like, let's just do this.
Which is great. And so they do it. And so she starts setting them up. And she's like, go over there and ask him for a light. And it's really sweet. And it's very successful.
But it's cute, too, because what makes sense is that it's not that Carrie doesn't know a thing or two or have a natural instinct for this. It's that it was the wrong setting, the wrong kind of audience.
And she said the phrase goes, if you can't do, teach. And if you can't teach, those who can't teach, do. And so she's sort of combining the two.
I think the phrase is those who can't do, teach.
And those who can't teach, do.
Yeah.
Is what Carrie says.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And so one woman goes
off. That always makes me think of those who can't do, teach. And those who can't teach, teach Jim, which is from School of Rock, which is
my favorite thing is this woman goes, hey, what about him? And Carrie touches the guy and goes, excuse me. Hi, have you met Liz? Liz works in TV. And he goes, I love TV. And she goes, look, something in common. And I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've
ever. He literally says, get out of here. I love TV.
Like, hey, this is Bridget. She likes scuba diving. I love breathing. Look, something in common.
Or if you were, she goes to work. I go to work.
Look, something in common.
But she really does, like, I think the point is that on, like, a personal level and on a one-on-one level, Carrie really does care and, like, have knowledge and is able to share it and shine. Of course. Who did you relate to in this episode?
I feel like I resonated with all of them. Not Samantha.
Yeah.
And not Charlotte. I was wrong before.
Yeah.
Miranda and Carrie on varying levels. I probably Miranda.
Yeah, I resonate with Miranda because there are definitely times where I've been like enamored and swept away by someone who like I know better, but I'm like, but I've never seen it.
It's like the story of my fucking life.
And then inevitably it happens, and I'm like, well, and I'm, I can't
but
even really
if you
be
add
mad.
The aspect to me, it's like, well, I'll change you.
Right. Yeah.
I'll be the one. Yeah. My Melissa and I call it Princess Fiona syndrome, where I am attracted to ogres because I think that I can get their layers.
Sure.
Because it all comes down to Shrek.
That's right.
At the end of the day, this is really a podcast about Shrek.
If you haven't caught on to that by now, I don't know what you've even been doing here.
If you listen back to every single episode, you'll find a Shrek
Skip forward every 15 seconds and we're secretly talking about
Shrek. If you play
Shrek.
It and rewind, it's actually just the dialogue of Shrek over and over and over again. And every time I sing and I make a musical theater reference backwards, it's actually just Welcome to Duloc.
Any music that's ever been played was actually I'm a Believer. Go back and listen. You thought it was saxophone? It's not. Guarantee it.
Why did they let us do this?
Who's they? We just fucking did this. And no one stopped us. That was the problem.
Thank you for feeding our...
Thank you for being a friend.
I'm a believer.
Fuck. It's happening in real time. Not a trace. Da, da, da. A dad and mama. I'm in love. Ooh, I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Here we go, guys. That was
This
is Shrek cast now.
Splat the Shrek cast. Shrek the podcast.
Splat the swamp cast. Shrek the swamp cast.
I resonated with Puss in Boots because we both have big eyes.
I just was so not ready for you to say that. I resonated in Shrek 2 when they roll up at the swamp to make the announcement. There's one trumpeter who steps out of line and plays a solo and the prince smacks him and says, like, not now, Louis, or whatever. I'm that guy.
You're Louis or whatever.
Yeah. I'm glad you knew what I was talking about.
I do.
Mm-hmm. You guys thought we were kidding. The next hour of this podcast is Shrek. Bye. Settle the fuck
Everybody,
in. We ain't going to sleep.
Get out your green. Get out
I don't
your
know
green
what we were doing, but I didn't know. She was like miming painting her body, and I didn't know. And I just got excited and started doing it too. We're green. Which plays into all your other favorite genres of.
I love Wicked.
Yep. which ties into magic, which also ties into Harry Potter. I mean, we're just, here we are. Bing, bang, but a fucking boom. Ploppability?
I think this is like 7 out of 10 Shrek.
Yeah. And by that, I hope you mean 10 out of 10 for Shrek content.
I think it's super ploppable.
Yeah, me too.
I just think it's like niche ploppable.
Yeah.
Like with most of Charlotte's plot lines, they're super universal. They're just like, well, universal in terms of time, but like right. niche in terms of...
The Samantha, I mean the Charlotte type. Very different. Yeah. I was just thinking about how much Samantha had no plot. Mm-hmm. At all. Although Samantha? I did like her little bit of learning that she had her Charlotte in her
Samantha
too.
Samantha was the alley-oop.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Basketball. I'm not. So my did I talk about my March Madness brackets last week?
No, talk about
it
now.
So I have two March Madness brackets. I have a Northwestern one.
Oh, I think you told Liz and I about this. They're so good.
Which is Call Me By Your Bracket.
Uh-huh.
And then I have my Flywheel one, which is Sister Act 2, Bracket and the Habit.
That's really good.
And Call Me By Your Bracket, I still have some people in. But for the Flywheel one, I just like couldn't use my brain energy to like go through again and think of. And I didn't want to repeat.
Yeah.
So I did a random fill-in. And boy, am I doing bad.
Oh, that's kind of fun though to see how badly you can bomb.
I'm third in one, the one that I picked. And I'm sixth in the other one.
Not bad. Third is
six
not bad.
Sixth and eight.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Well, two people still worse than you, baby. Hey, hey, hey.
Hi, hi, hi.
Delties, upsies?
Delties, upsies, delties, downsies. Delties, upsies for me that I watched my brother make his Broadway debut this week.
That's insane.
I cried.
I mean, of course.
It was like intense crying.
And you got to see not one but two shows because he's in not one but two fucking shows. Part one, part two.
Part one and part two. So it was two nights of emotional exertion. And my delties, downsies... is that it's still cold. And I'm just like storm cloud right now.
Yeah. Quote you yourself earlier.
I'm like a little Zoloft Rocky.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I get that fully.
I'm just like.
I often am that guy.
I'm like, I can't appreciate any of the good things in my life.
Because I'm my own personal downer all the time.
But it's okay because I feel the change coming.
I love that.
I just like, I'm fine.
Things are blooming.
Spring, hopefully.
Yeah.
I have high hopes for myself. But it's just like, I've been down on myself.
Been down on myself.
Yeah. What about you? Delties, upsies, delties, delties?
That was a helpful contribution to your feelings I made there. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Put a lot into that. Mine, my downs are, what is my delta down? I am having just very intense, like, time at a lot of places, mm-hmm. but I have a little bit of a better hold on things this week. So I'm not even going to say really a down because I just want to kind of rut coast the like okayness
yeah.
and not tempt it. Delta up is, by the time this comes out, he who shall not be named will be back in the city for a little bit, which I'm very excited about.
The Dark Lord rises and we're
so
excited.
The Dark Lord, I'm calling him on my fucking Dark Mark right now.
Let's Dark Mark. Get him here.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Finish those. Yeah, 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 yeah. And, Brooke, where can I find you on social meds?
Social meds. You can find me on Twitter at Brooke _Wiseman. And I feel like I'm back on Twitter.
You're doing it.
Which
also,
is good.
Splat has been.
Splat's been fire.
It's
and happening. That's all Bridget. So we'll talk about that in a minute. This is about me.
I'm so sorry. How could I? These are nice leggings. I like this material. Way to also feel mine. Kaylin gave them to me. They're like they're like maternity leggings from Target. And they're the most comfortable thing I've ever had on my body.
One of my other delta ups is that I did a lot of yoga this weekend, so my round juicy orbs are especially
round juicy
round
orbs
and juicy.
It's
and
happening.
They're like I got like two Zoloft rocks on my butt.
Oh and yeah, those are the kinds you want.
Bring it all back to Zoloft rocks.
That's what it's all been about.
Zoloft rocks. Anyway,
Zoloft rocks.
You met me on Twitter at Brooke _Wiseman saying ridiculous things.
Yep.
Things and on Instagram. At Brooke no, fuck shit. I have to go jump off the window.
jump off the fucking window, baby.
At Brooke Wiseman, no underscore. And if you put the underscore, I will throw she you will, it will off be a, the window.
It will be a sad murder-suicide, I'm sorry to say. Is that too dark?
Yeah.
Well, I love to end on a fucking downer.
I'll shove a pine cone up your butt.
Oh, for a second I thought that was you just responding to me and I was really taken aback. No, that was directed at you guys.
You guys. So, social media, ma'am. Excuse me? Social media, ma'am? Social media, ma'am. Come into
yes. Where, you rang.
Where can I find you on social media?
Oh, it's so funny you should ask. Primarily, if you'd like to find me on the internet, I would recommend Twitter, personally. You can find me there. My handle, if you search it, is...
Professor McGonagall, you are a social media man.
At Mrs. Burt Macklin, the fictional wife of a very funny fictional television character from an American television sitcom. And you can find me on Instagram at BridgetM37. Thank you.
And collectively.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, social media ma'am. Bridget, are you back?
Who, me?
No, that's still
sorry, I had something in my throat.
I'm so tickled by that bit.
I'm glad because I'm not sure anyone else will be. So it was a beautiful.
My dad.
Hey, buddy.
We didn't talk about my sex life at all in this podcast. So
you could do that real quick if you wanted. Sex. Tell me about sex. You can find us collectively at Splat Podcast.
On Twitter, on Instagram, and at gmail.com. Hey, you there listening.
Please rate, review, subscribe.
Just do it.
Please.
Find us on Acast. Find us on iTunes. I don't know how you're listening
to it. It's so fun that we can see subscribers on Acast. And we have, I don't know if you guys know this, we definitely have a lot of American listeners, but you guys are in the company of friends of ours in Germany, in the UK, and
hello.
Australia. Oh, this is a good, wow. Wait. And Australia.
G'day.
And Ireland. Yes, the classic silent Irish hello. I love it. Anyway, it's just amazing. And
bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.